and welcome everyone here today. Certainly great to see all of you here. Wish we were talking about the pending first round of the playoffs, but certainly there's a lot of good things that that we can discuss, and lots of things have transpired since June 8th, since the day that I stood up on the press conference here and accepted the role as general manager, and certainly very excited about the future of this franchise moving forward. So I'll open it up to your questions and take as long as you need. I think Claude did a great job. I think the whole coaching staff did an exceptional job given the circumstances of transitioning a group of players from an area to a new area. Relocating them is no easy task, and certainly trying to implement a new system and implement a new culture into the organization is something that that does take time. But I think if you look at statistics of the players, the majority of them increased in many key areas of the statistical analysis of things. But at the end of the day, the one key statistic that really matters is the wins, and that's something that moving forward they're going to continue to work tirelessly at. Well, culture change is an interesting dynamic because you don't just walk in and say, gentlemen, we're changing the culture. What you have to do is it's a long process. You have to show that, the process that you want to put in place, the beliefs, the core values, you have to demonstrate, or it has to be demonstrated through different actions and different beliefs by the players that it is going in the right direction. That's what changes the culture. The actual culture change doesn't happen first. Changing the things behind the scenes, changing how you do business, changing what we're all about. Those are the things that we want to get the players to buy in and believe that this organization is about, and ultimately that's when the culture changes. So to talk and just say, well, we're changing the culture, that's a little premature. We're putting the things in place that will ultimately change this culture in the future.
Have you been able to do any of that?
Absolutely. I think that a lot of you have spoken to a lot of the different players, talked about, the way that they're treated within this organization, the investment that the ownership has put into, both the infrastructure, the way we travel, the way we treat them, the different things involved with giving them the best opportunities to perform, the way the coaches interact with the players, communicate with the players. The way the coaches actually coach, with the players, the openness to speaking with management, all those things are things that are very, very important in developing ultimately, where we want to go. So we've put the things in place. We're hopeful that, the players are believing that that is the right direction to go, because ultimately when they believe it and when they buy into it and it becomes commonplace, in their daily lives, in their daily careers, then that's when culture starts to change. I don't know that you ever know that you're actually done, but I think the results speak for themselves. And again, we had exit meetings with all the different players and talked extensively about not only their on ice play, but certainly their off ice experiences in the transition from Atlanta to Winnipeg, the transition of their families. And, the understanding that, this organization is in year one, and it's moving forward in many, many years. And, for a majority of them, we'd like them to be big parts of that change for years to come.
What's the job for you? Do you enjoy it? I imagine it's very
comfortable. Well, it was immensely enjoyable. It's something that it's a 24/7 job. You really never take a step back and take a break, because there's always something going on. Actually, in some ways, the least busy time for a general manager happens essentially after the trade deadline till essentially the playoffs or the season is over. And then you hit the ground running again in those regards. But You know, for that period of time from the trade deadline to now, you know, certainly you turn into a fan a little bit, and you scoreboard watch, and you watch your team with great anticipation. But you know, taking in all the experiences that happened this year, certainly working with True North Sports and Entertainment, working with Craig Heisinger, working with Claude Noel, you know, assembling the staff behind the scenes that we have. Very, very excited about you know, moving forward and the things that are available to us in the future.
A lot of coaches say that when you get to this level, it's a heavy load of performance.
That first year, you think you know stuff. It's always the first year that you really learn, and then the next year is after that. It's as much as you think you know going into it, first year is always something that's surprising. Is it the same for you?
Well, I think that you're always learning, and you know, again, for anybody, I think you can talk to the most senior guys, in the league, and I do on any occasion that I get to, you know, sit down and talk with those kind of guys, not just about, trades or anything like that. You talk about the game, and you talk about the industry, and you talk about the direction of the game from the economic standpoint, from the on-ice standpoint. So you're always learning, and you know, for anybody who thinks that, you know, you walk in here and it's turnkey and, you know, I'm ready and, you know, I can make every decision without, you know, anyone else's thoughts or influences, they're probably not going to last very long. So there's lots of things, but that's the interesting part of this job here, is that there is so much more in front of us. We're all learning, you know, from a coaching staff and a management staff. We sit and talk, you know, regularly, you know, again, about the actual team itself, but just about the game in general and about life in general. And, you know, all those things factor in. And, you know, there's lots of different challenges in this game today that even the most senior general managers, you know, have the same experience as I do, you know, with respect to the players, their youthfulness, their, you know, the age of social media, the influences that are there, the money that's in the game now. These are all things that every general manager has their challenges with. Well, I think there's obviously tremendous room for improvement in many different areas. You know, obviously it's funny because I was thinking about this a couple of days ago, you know, when the season ended, and just kind of in retrospect the year, there was a period of time where we struggled to score goals, and you know, it became, well, these guys can't score, we need to get a goal scorer. And then, you know, there was a period of time where we were scoring goals, but pucks were going in, and it's like, man, oh man, they better shore up the defense. And you know, over an 82-game season, I think you see lots of different areas. I think we're strong in net, you know, from the standpoint that, you know, Pav is someone that is continuing to grow into, you know, his role as a premier goaltender. He's, you know, he played the most games that he's had, you know, at the National League level. You know, and obviously that's a taxing thing, but something that, you know, he'll grow from, you know, as well. You saw Kaner go from 14 to 19 to 30, you know, on the goal scoring side of it. You know, you saw Buff get 53 points, his same total as he did last year in quite a substantial amount less of games. You saw, you know, Bogosian, you know, come into his own, you know, obviously getting the, you know, to play the minutes, the strong minutes, obviously had some injuries as well. So I think for us, you know, it's about, you know, improvement in a lot of different areas, but certainly I'd love to get, you know, bigger. I think that, you know, from a size perspective, there are areas of that we would like to address, be it, you know, short term or in the long term. But that is an area that I think, you know, we could certainly improve upon. But again, there's to pinpoint one single place, you know, it might not be the true evaluation and analysis of our team.
Of all the moves you made in the last 10, 11 months, which one would you say improved the deepest?
Well, I think that we did some things in the short term to give ourselves an opportunity to compete. You know, certainly, you know, Kyle Wellwood was a good signing in the sense that he was economical. I think a lot of people scratched their heads when we did bring him in, you know, to wonder why, but you know, he's someone that, you know, that fit in, you know, very well. I think, you know, that the best moves that we can probably honestly say that helped us is turning the opportunity for this team to get better over to the younger guys. You know, guys like Bermie, who, played a much more significant role in the kind of second half of the season with respect to his ice time and the quality of his ice time. Having obviously a year to look at it in retrospect, there's lots of things that, come into play in those regards. Obviously there's some young things on the horizon that we hope can, come in and help us improve. Mark Scheifele is someone that, we hope is getting closer to, coming to fruition, to getting to the National Hockey League on a regular basis. But, all these things, still take time, so we'll see. But as far as one particular move, I think that the moves in its totality have kind of been the ones that have helped us the most.
More active do you think you'll be in a year?
Well, it wasn't for lack of trying to be active, but again, I'm not a guy that is going to make a trade for the sake of making a trade. Everyone always talks about, well, go out and sign a free agent, and everyone looks at the free agent market when it comes into play, and you certainly look and see if there's different pieces that fit. You don't go sign a free agent just for the sake of saying, okay, guys, I signed a free agent. It's got to be something that fits. It's got to be something that, helps you, in the short and long term. It's got to be something that doesn't forego you an opportunity to, maybe give a young player that is going to have a bright long-term future a chance to play. Those are all things that have to come into consideration. So, again, the rate and frequency and phone calls and trying to be aggressive and making moves, is going to continue to be there. It's just a matter of, you look at the National Hockey League and you can chart, the different things that have happened. It's very difficult to make meaningful moves, for players that make significant impacts. I don't know really if it will or it won't. Again, we're going to approach things as business as usual. I'm hopeful that obviously, something will happen. Obviously with the collective bargaining agreement at some point in time. So I really don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. In our exit meetings with all the players, it really wasn't brought up at all. It wasn't a conversation that we had with any of them. The conversation that we had, be it free agent, RFA, or player under contract, was totally focused on where things need to go next year with their own personal games, talking about this their season in retrospect, and then obviously talking about the team and the culture and the surrounding transition into a new area in general. I hope so. I think that's something that in due course will start, taking fold. But again, it's as far as time frames, there is no time frame on it. It's there's certainly different opportunities that'll present themselves to talk to guys, talk to the agents, and see if we can come to agreements. I've talked to the agents, and basically, said to them, we're going through the kind of closing out procedures here, and there's different things like world championships that some of them are involved in, and the agents are involved and stuff like that. So we haven't exchanged any proposals with anybody. We haven't talked any numbers or terms with anybody, but obviously now the conversations are maybe a little bit more frequent, and at some point in time we'll set up some schedules and start talking about coming to agreements. Well, certainly, one thing that True North, both Mark and David have been very adamant of is that, when we need to make the moves on the financial side, the money will be there, and it's something that, does that mean it's going to increase? How much it's going to increase? There's lots of different variables that come into play there. The whole roster from a monetary standpoint is somewhat fluid at times. At this point in time of the year, you can put your wish lists up on the board and kind of project where numbers may come in, but numbers for those kind of players are somewhat variable until you decide the term and the different things like that that come into play. So when you ultimately come to agreement and move something from pencil to pen on the budget, then you see where the different things come into play. But True North has never ever wavered from their commitment to me that when we need the money to keep or to get the players that are available to us, that the money will be there. Well, I think the fans were, instrumental in the transition for our players, this year. That, in the sense that they were, felt very welcome, both in the community, but obviously in the MTS Center. And, to hear, opposing, general managers talk to me about it, and to hear, opposing players literally lining up, at face-offs with some of our team members and saying, like, this place is great. Those are our stories that, again, they're not scripted. They happen and they're real, and those are something that, mean a lot to the growth of this franchise and this community. And this community should be extremely proud with how they welcome the team. And I know the players, again, to a man, had tremendous things to say about, being a part of it and looking forward to the future. Well, for me is, my fans get an unwavering commitment from me that, this is, kind of the start of something really good. And it's something that, we're going to keep moving forward, as hard as we can and, leave no stone unturned when it comes to trying to improve this team. Someone asked me what I felt, at the end of the season, when obviously we didn't make it. And, my feelings were unwavered. There was not a moment in time that... I look back and said, this direction of this team is in jeopardy. I think I look at the group of young guys that we have. They're 1 year older, and they're tremendously more experienced, and we're going to have the opportunity to keep on adding. We're not going to mortgage the future by trading away young players for quick fixes. And from a fan's perspective, I would hope that they would understand that that is a true commitment, because there is, always the temptation to say, well, the benefit of having this veteran player for the now is going to far outseed, what might be in the future. But then, come to the future, you're always sitting back there and looking like, well, what would have happened if we had kept that guy? What would have happened if, now he was 25 and in our roster and playing, a certain way? And you only have 7 draft picks a year, and that's an important way of bringing young talent into your organization. And those are very important once you draft them, that you you take them and you nurture them to the next level, and you hope that they become assets for your organization. I don't think I have to sell it. I think it sells itself. I think that, the players, have certainly been open, open about it. But one thing that I always, cautioned everybody when we talk about, the fans and the building and the, the atmosphere, is that you still have to play the game. And that, it is important that you never take any of that for granted moving forward. But I'm proud of this city. I'm proud of this building. And if I have to oversell someone to do something, then they're probably not the right guy.
And you said last week, right, that you on 12-90 that you would be open to moving your first round pick for the right offer. I know that where that first round pick is could vary depending on the draft lottery, but what would your asking price be in order to move that?
Yeah, we'll see if we get a little lucky tonight, maybe. We have a 2% chance, I think it is, of potentially moving up in the lottery picks in the draft. And as far as what the asking price would be, it'd be extremely high, again, because we're talking about the future of this franchise, and it's something that my commitment to not mortgage the future, that will be unwavered. It'll be a process that You know, at times people may say, you know, you need to accelerate, but at some point in time, if the right pieces are there to accelerate the process, then we will. So, and if it involves a draft pick or if it involves, you know, a player, we're not going to be afraid to make that move. But it is going to be something that'll be well calculated out and meaningful. Well, you know, obviously, you know, the you have to fill out a roster, and how that roster gets filled out, you know, still remains to be seen. Whether it's re-signing of your UFAs, whether it's signing new UFAs, but again, when I say you know, the acceleration of the process, that should never be misconstrued with trying to get better now. You know, and there's different ways to try and do that. And you know, again, you know, we made a few waiver claims this year. Those are free looks or free opportunities at players. Some of them work, some of them don't, but you can't be afraid to try and do those things, because again, those are opportunities that you know, can lead to good things. And if they don't, then you should not be afraid to say, well, I'm never going to do that again, because you know, those are things that present themselves to you. You only get so many different ways to do things. Free agency is one of them. You go and you make a few bids, you try to get some guys, but at the end of the day, you know, it's like any one of you. When you go to buy something, you set your price, you set your limits. And, you know, sometimes there's temptation to say, well, I'm going to let my heart go a little farther than my head, and you pay for it down the line. You know, I have to make sure that I don't ever let my heart get ahead of my head, and that, you know, anything that we're going to do has to have meaning. Well, it's not so much a hardened stance. I think that, you know, obviously last year's situation, coming into the situation that we were in, you know, we were forced to do business in some respects, you know, the way that that we were. And, you know, as far as RFAs, there's going to be different stances for different situations, you know, moving forward. Someone said throughout the year that, well, you know, Chevy's going to refuse to negotiate during the year. That's not always going to be the case. That was the case this year. You know, from the standpoint that, you know, I felt that there was lots of distractions within the team itself already, just from the move and from the, you know, the hype and trying to, you know, push to make the playoffs, that I didn't want any individual distractions to come into play from the player's perspective. That was a decision that I made this year. Moving forward, you know, again, we'll look at it, you know, on a case-by-case basis. But, you know, as far as, you know, July 1, or any day thereafter is, you know, when we want to sign a player, RFA, UFA, whether, you know, when they're out of, we'll set our plan and we'll put our plan in motion. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't determine when the end result is going to be. And, but at the end of the day, when we want to get a guy signed, we'll work on getting him done. And we'll be standing here and announcing it when we do. You know, I'm not looking at, you know, potentially shedding any salary at this point. I'm looking at, you know, trying to build the roster that, you know, we see fit, whether it's going to be, you know, some younger guys coming in or some veteran guys. It's hard to say at this point. You know, you know, everybody's got the same free agent list up on the board in their offices, and, you know, those, you know, come into play and impact, you know, what direction you're going to go. And there's lots of variables, you know, that come into play. There could be some trades, you know, that could be some hockey trades. You just don't know. So to sit here, you know, at this juncture and say, well, you know, we're at 38, we're only going to have X amount now, you know, well, I better do this. You have to keep yourself flexible and open to any opportunities that come up, because it may be addition. You know, it may be something where I go to True North and say, you know what, if we get this, if we can do this, we may have to increase a little bit more, but it's going to help us in our greater scheme of things. And that's, you know, again, that's what we have the flexibility of doing here.
So is it safe to say your player budget is going up next year? We'll have to?
It's hard to say at this point in time what the actual number will be.
Surely you've set a ballpark figure for that.
No, again, it's something that, you know, it's flexible. I have no idea what my RFA guys are going to come in at. I have no idea what any of the UFA guys I want to keep come in at. I have no idea what some of the potential free agents. I think the key is that if I go to True North and I say, you know, I need to do this, you know, if I've got reasonable, you know, grounds to do it, then that's what we're talking about here. Well, you know, Claude's still going through some debriefing with his coaches. You know, the day after, you know, the last game, we met with every player. Zinger, Claude, Larry Simmons, and myself and every player met. The next day, Claude, you know, met with some individual players on a more in-depth basis. Today, Claude is starting his, you know, coaching meetings with, you know, with his coaching staff and going over. You know, there's one thing that we have is we have some time here now to look at the roster, to analyze it, maybe take a deep breath here and clear your heads, and then, you know, keep looking and talking about you know, the plan for the future. I think you know, again, we've you know, to Sarah's question, we have talked to some of the agents of different players, and you know, at some point in time, you know, we'll see how those things unfold. And even players themselves, they have different you know, priorities on timing of signing or different decisions to make, you know, with respect to those things as well. Yeah, I would think that, you know, if we, you know, had the opportunity to, you know, to either get more experience or upgrade, or you know, get some young talent at forward that would fit into our core. You know, that would be something that would be very helpful in pushing the process along. But you know, again, there's tremendous opportunity you know, on defense as well to improve. But again, I wanna keep myself obviously very open and flexible, because you know, if there's a need or a move that needs to be made, I'm not gonna, you know, sit back and say, well, I'm gonna wait for a forward, or, you know, when I've got this defenseman available, or I'm gonna wait for a defenseman because, you know, I really want a forward. So, we'll see how things present themselves. We'll be aggressive. You know, we'll be, you know, a team that'll, you know, make outgoing calls to see if there's opportunities, you know, to target different players that we may like in other organizations that may not fit. But again, these are things that, you know, now being in the job and having the opportunity to, you know, move forward, you know, with a year's experience with this roster, that, you know, you can try to do with greater certainty. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's all going to fall into place right away. You guys only get the little bit of the stories. Well, Claude's a wonderful person to be around on a personal level, and he's a very emotional guy, you know, and that's something that, you know, you see him behind the bench, and he's not emotional where he yells and screams at refs. He's very respectful when it comes to that. He respects the game and believes that, you know, those things take care of themselves. He's not one to really chastise refs, you know, no matter how hard he's prodded. And, you know, so his emotion comes from, you know, the amount of effort and time and caring that he has for this roster and this team and this organization and this game. So, you know, when he does have a funny anecdote or a story, it's purely because of, you know, he does care. And, you know, he'll say those things to the players as well. And that's a uniqueness. You know, there's no phony in Claude. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if he does say something that's, you know, maybe a little off the charts, you know, I would hope that everyone understands that in order to have that honesty, you got to kind of look at it and say, yeah, you know what, I may not have been able to say that, but I believe it too. Well, you know, he's the coach. You know, he's the one that walks into that room and they all look at him and, you know, and they all respect him, and he has to coach them the day after, you know, anything like that as well. So he's an experienced person. And, you know, again, you know, he's different than I am. He's different than you are. He's different than everyone else. And going too far or not going too far, that's an opinion. You know, he's a professional hockey coach coaching a professional hockey team, and is accountable to, you know, to the fans, accountable to his team, and accountable to himself. See, you guys are trying to put words. Claude is, again, part of what makes Claude is you know, his passion. And you know, again, I'm sure he'd like to muzzle me a few times too, you know, and we all like to muzzle someone. But, again, if you want me to come up and tell stories, you guys might all fall asleep. You know, I might not make you, I might not be as interesting. But, you know, if you want to talk about X's and O's of the salary cap and everything like that, then I probably can sit here and talk for hours. You know, everyone's got their different, hot button topics. And, you know, Claude has a tough job. All the coaches at the National Hockey League or in pro sports in general have a very tough job because, you know, the players go out and play and you see them crashing and banging and you see the emotion that they, you know, put out there. But you see a coach standing behind the bench and, like, the mind is racing. I've coached. I've been behind a bench and, you know, the mind is racing. You're as emotional. You're as in there, but there's no way for that emotion to be released. And, you know, so from the win standpoint, you come off and you know, maybe you sound like you're a little bit overexcited from a win, but from a loss standpoint, maybe you get a little too down on the loss, and that's hard because you want that pure emotion, you know, that pure feelings to be genuine, and with Claude, they're always genuine.
How much did the roster you inherited and the salaries you inherited hamstring or restrict?
Well, hamstring and restrict, you don't really put measures on something like that. That's not a quantifiable thing. When you're dealing within a cap or a budget, you know, when you see a number in pen as opposed to pencil, then you start, moving forward accordingly. And I've seen people say we've had too much money on defense or too much money at forward or too much money here or not enough there. You know, again, those are things, that are set. You deal with them, you evaluate them, and you tend to try as much as you can to put money aside and try and build, through the person and the player and what they bring to the table. When it comes down to making trades or, maybe doing different things on signings, you have to look at that next line. You have to look at the salary. And to make a trade where the salary disparities are different, that is a difficult thing. But, to say how much that impacted or influenced on how we did business, it's hard to put a measurement on that. I think it was an evolution. I don't know that it was a conscious, now it's time, let's do it. It's kind of an evolution of everything, and it speaks to the maturation process of the player, but it also speaks to, trying to tweak the lineup and trying to get more out of what you have going. Sometimes injuries force you to do some of those things, and in a lot of cases, Antro's injuries, did that. And Antro, obviously, one thing that, is an interesting concept is just how hard these guys play when they are injured. And I know we're cloak and dagger all the time when it comes to, the upper body or the lower body. But these guys, all the stories about hockey players, playing through injuries and are warriors, we witnessed it firsthand this year where a lot of guys, maybe could have opted to take the easy way out. But played through it. So when one person gets challenged, another person gets an opportunity. One person has an injury, the other guy gets to eat up his ice time. And what we need to find is more depth from kind of top to bottom within the organization that when we do have an injury, that the people that come in can either step right in and play at that higher level or they can grow into that role. Well, certainly any opportunity that you get to win is very important. It's important from, you know, obviously, you know, the pure winning side of it and the what it does, you know, from, I guess, camaraderie and growing together and everything. But one thing that winning does for me is it shows that, you know, players are willing to make a commitment, making a commitment to play till mid-June. And, you know, sometimes in the playoffs you look at the different teams that are left standing at the end. You know, they've had to battle injuries, they've had to battle, you know, different things. But the one common theme is that these players are willing, you know, to pay the ultimate price to keep on winning in mid-June. And when other players have maybe gone on vacation and come home and are well into their summer training, you know, these players are still sacrificing it. So a long run would show me that, you know, we have a lot of players that are willing to make that commitment. And ultimately, you know, those type of players are ones that, you know, carry that commitment with them, you know, forever. Well, right now, you know, we'll get through all the exit process, you know, with respect to, you know, the coaches will have their meetings. I'm heading off to Europe actually tomorrow for the under-18 championships. So there's a strong focus on the amateur side of things right now with respect to the draft and getting a chance to see as many of the potential prospects as you possibly can at this point in time. We'll come back and, you know, Claude's going to take some time off, then we'll sit down and meet as a staff, you know, management staff and coach to talk a little bit about his thoughts about the, you know, the past season and, you know, talk about the roster moving forward. You know, concurrently, there's still going to be a lot of amateur stuff like the combines that does come up. There'll be some pro scouting meetings, you know, different things like that. The reality is that, you know, from, you know, the moment that the final buzzer went, you know, my job essentially picked up, and you know, we're busy on the management side from now right till probably August. You know, I've seen probably half of them live now, and by the you know, by the conclusion of you know, the tournaments and the you know, different playoffs at different levels, I'll hopefully have seen you know, the majority of the top 15, 20, 30 players. But this year's an interesting draft in the sense that there was several players that are ranked very high that had very serious injuries. Some of them kept them out the entire year and have come back or are coming back, you know, so the evaluation process, you know, is a little bit more difficult, which, you know, can be, you know, a plus or a minus, depending how you look at it. You know, there could be some opportunities for players that, in theory, would have been or should have been ranked very high that slipped because of their injuries or vice versa. So, you know, again, it's an interesting time. Every year, everyone talks about the quality of the draft, and invariably, the quality of the draft, you know, gets comes to fruition 3-4 years from now when these players start making impacts. But if you know, you'd have to go back to some of the questions and answers back in those years to see that you know, some of these players that maybe aren't that haven't shown as much as people maybe you know, thought they would or could at this point in time turn out to be great players too down the line. So. The development process, as I've mentioned before, you know, it happens, you know, different for different players all the time.
Your thoughts on Evander Kane's first year here, both on and off the ice?
You know, again, I mentioned, alluded to it a little bit, you know, with his, you know, the process of his on-ice play for going from 14, 19 to 30 goals. I think that you've seen, you know, a player that, you know, had the opportunity to work for a coach that, or play for a coach that, you know, was a good developer. I think at points in time, I go back to some of the comments and the thoughts about, oh, geez, he's only playing this amount of minutes tonight. Something must not be right, you know, and everyone wants to try and sensationalize that. But, you know, he's a 20-year-old player that, you know, would really just be coming into the American Hockey League if, you know, if he, you know, had not been at the National League. So we all know, we've all experienced the different, you know, ups and downs and growth of players at the American League level, and, you know, both him and Bermy and to an extent, you know, Bogle, you know, had to cut their teeth at the National League level. So I'm real proud of the job that the young kids have done in, you know, in growing their game. I'm proud of how the coaches handled them. You know, with respect to, you know, some of the other areas, you know, the transition from Atlanta to Winnipeg, I thought was handled, you know, as best as it could be by some of these players. They went from virtual anonymity to, you know, to people in the community that, are very, very recognizable. And, these players, certainly the ones that grew up in Canada, they enjoy that. They love that. They relish it. They love the game. They idolized all these players growing up as well. But it takes time for them to understand that they are now the idolized and that, we're living in a different world. Social media is something that, the players of 10 years ago never had to, encounter. It was not part of the fabric of the youth of our society or society in general. And, even people like, myself, a couple years ago, I wasn't, doing the things that we do now on the technological side of it. Heck, we still use a fax machine every so often. I don't know if everyone remembers what those are type things now, so there's a lot of social pressures that a young person has. A person who's 20 that, is just setting off to college doesn't have the same responsibility and accountability that, someone in the public eye does. And that is part of becoming a total package type of player. He's had a good year in Barrie. Obviously the opportunity to work with Dale Hawerchuk has been very good for him. They're immersed in the playoffs right now. Got a chance to watch him play in round one. The game that I watched him play was a little nerve-wracking. Probably for two people, his mother and myself. He got hit from behind and got knocked out of that game. So I found myself down at the dressing room with her after the game to find out how he was. But, he bounced right back and played. And so, the year that he's had and the pressures that he's had to carry that team. In talking to Dale, what Dale is trying to impart on him is to become a total hockey player and teaching the defensive side of the game as well, which, player who graduates from junior to pro, that's usually the thing that's missing. So if he can come in at a more total package, we'll be very excited. Both him and Ivan Teligan have had a good year playing virtually side by side, and again, two good prospects among others, for our organization.
Hey guys.
Well, thanks very much again. I appreciate everyone this year, and look forward to the different press conferences this summer, and again, appreciate all your professionalism and working with us. I know it's been an exciting year for all of you as well, so can't emphasize enough that it's just the beginning. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a good summer.
Thanks.
Hey, from Christina and Kaylin and myself, we also like to thank you guys for this season. It was a long year. You guys were extremely cooperative with our department, learning on the fly as well. So I just wanted to thank you guys for all of your help this season. There'll be some releases coming up.